The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yeah, Serena Bellissimo is with me, entertainment journalist and D-Ready, the journalist and podcaster, to talk about what to watch for the week ahead, big screen and small. Serena, Downton Abbey, the grand finale.
There's been a lot of excitement about this one. I thought like we were finished with the second film.
Yeah, it's like Elton John's kind of goodbye tours. Yes. There's always another.
Well, this, they promise us, is the grand finale.
Yeah, Elton promised that as well.
Exactly. I was going to say the hint is in the title, but after you watch it, you go, I think there could be a possible, like this could be a launch pad for another series, or it could be, like they say,
it
could also stand alone as the, this is how we end, use the rest to your imagination, right? You figure it out.
Have you watched The Gilded Age at all?
I'm not really into these period dramas.
Okay, no, just because it's Julian Fellowes as well, and I feel like that is, in the most recent series, that is starting to become almost like the prequel to Downton Abbey and Cora and Lord Grantham's early relationship.
So you don't know what that... You didn't watch the TV series at all, did you, Serena?
And the only reason why I got into this is the film that was out last, before this one, I had to interview the cast. So I was like, all right, I'll go and watch it.
Well, what did you think of that movie then?
I thought it was all right.
And what do you think of this movie?
I think it's all right. I have to... Look, if anyone's going, what's actually going on, you haven't told us yet. Basically, we're back with the family. Lady Mary is going through some scandal, the family and
she loves
the servants.
Scandal, that woman, she doesn't
does.
She?
She does.
Oh my God, she is mad for scandal.
Well, like this could actually get herself and the whole family like disgraced, no one wanting to do anything.
Oh,
with,
what have you had? Right. The series, that's not the first time.
Oh, okay.
Oh no. Yeah. Episode one, The Turk, remember
the Turk
in the bed.
Oh, my God.
Stop that light.
History.
Oh, she
okay.
does.
So this is about navigating that, but it's also about... they're coming into 1930s, yeah? So society's changing. London society's changing. Is the family changing? So they also have to deal with all of that stuff. And there's some financial problems as well, thanks to the brother who is played by Paul Giamatti.
Oh, yes. Like okay. That's Cora's brother.
Yeah, there you go. Now, look, my review... It's not worth anything because I'm not a fan of the film. Was it pleasant? Yes. Is it still stunning? Yes. Is it one of the best ensemble casts going? I think so because no one takes the shine off anyone. They all just come together so effortlessly.
I think people would be upset as well if they strayed too far from what the TV show
you
was.
Want.
Like when you were describing it there, we're coming into the 1930s. There's financial troubles. Literally now, series two, we're coming into the 1920s. There's financial troubles, so that's that. They're both very prevalent.
Are there Nazis in this?
No, but do you know who is back? Actually, this will mean nothing to you because you haven't watched the film.
Mm.
From last season, Dominic West played
did he?
Yeah, so he's come back.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yes,
so he's sort of come
that.
Back into this. Noel Coward arrives. The tributes that they have scattered throughout to Maggie Smith are really beautiful.
Mm.
As I said, it's stunning to watch. For me, I'm not a fan. So for me, I felt like this probably could have served as a Christmas special, like a 90-minute Christmas
they're
special.
They're all like that.
Mm.
It goes for 2 hours.
You know.
It goes for a bit too long.
Mm.
But the two fans I went with, and actually John Fardy, I was there with John Fardy. Oh.
Yeah.
He said he sat there with a big smile on his face. So I'm not the one to review this. Rotten Tomatoes. 91% from the critics, 98% from the fans. Everybody who was there, we watched it at the Stella, which I think made it a bit more special as well. Everybody loved it. So if you're a fan, I think you're going to go want to watch this on the big screen. And I don't know, maybe I'm a bit cynical, but I feel like this is just the end of the old, and I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years' time we actually have another series.
Downton Abbey, a new age.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
With the National Trust.
Yes.
So there you go. That's in cinemas tomorrow.
All right. Okay. So that's in cinemas. What is Highest to Lowest, D?
Highest to Lowest is the latest film from Spike Lee and his fifth with Denzel Washington as the star. It's sort of, and not quite, a remake of Akira Kurosawa's classic crime thriller, High and Low. But this time it's been played out on the streets of modern day New York. And Denzel Washington's character plays this hugely successful sort of music mogul who has you, and you find this out in the first
is this scene. On Apple TV?
It's on Apple TV, yeah.
Sorry, because
you
see
seen it?
No, but at the moment, if you watch anything on Apple TV, the ad, the trailer beforehand starts with a clip of this,
okay,
with Denzel Washington in the back of a car saying, I need my own theme music, and then you click skip intro.
And it's funny you should say that, because so yeah, he plays a music mogul, he's about to buy back this the sort of first label he ever set up, and then his kid is kidnapped. The ransom would take the money for the record label. That's a no-brainer. But then it turns out they've
Does he pay the ransom, or does he start the record label?
It turns out they've kidnapped. This is all part of the blurb, and it's in the original film and book. They've taken the wrong kid. And so he now has to decide between his dream or somebody else's child. And that's kind of the crux of the film. Now,
I mean, I blame the parents. To the parents. I just buy my record label.
Well, I mean, it's his chauffeur as well. He knows the kid. Anyway, it is kind of one of those things where I feel like the people making the movie felt that this was a much deeper moral quandary than it actually is. I mean, it's a child's life. Bit of a no-brainer. You still have a lovely apartment. You could start a different record label. Get over yourself. So that makes it kind of hard.
They kind of imagine that we'd all be there thinking, oh, what would we do in this situation?
And I almost feel like there's that...
Tells you a lot about filmmakers.
Exactly. Spike Lee and Denzel Washington live this just such rare existence that they are maybe not the right people to be teasing that one out. But there are glimpses of absolute brilliance in it.
Well, famously, these movie stars, their moral compass is exactly the same as the rest of society.
Absolutely. It's not out of whack at all. But what is, it's funny that you should mention the soundtrack part there in the trailer. A friend of mine had to turn it off because she found the soundtrack, which switches kind of almost chaotically, very, very jarring. Now, it's funny because when I was watching it, having heard that from her, I'm curious, and I was kind of like, oh, no, I get this, because he's clearly somebody who soundtracks his own life in his head. So it makes
absolutely...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
You don't?
I do that.
You have music playing all the time.
In my head, yeah.
All the time?
All the time. We just switched there when you're down, Jane.
Wow.
Do you not?
No.
What's going on in your mind? I think I want to know what's going on in your mind.
But anyway, that was exactly the same experience
weird.
That myself and my friend had in watching it.
Is that not distracting that you're hearing music, listening to music all the time? I think you're mad, the two
of you. Do you know, if I have to do something, if I have a deadline and I need to concentrate, what I do is I put on the heaviest dance music I can find.
Oh, yeah.
Blare it up and type away.
But it has to be music I know. Otherwise, it'll distract me.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Oh, that was nice. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Weird.
Yeah.
No.
Did you do it in complete silence?
If I have to do something to the deadline? Oh, yeah, absolute silence.
Really?
Yeah.
That distracts me.
Yeah.
Does it?
The silence distracts
me. Well, then my thoughts are going to take over.
Yeah. Like, I look around and go, oh, that needs
to be. Do you not like letting your thoughts take over? I'd often drive the whole way to Dublin or up and down without listening to anything, just thinking about
it.
I'm ADHD, so there's a lot of thoughts that are trying to take over.
Okay.
But see, I will talk to myself as I'm listening to something else. Are we making a diagnosis here on air? But
like, yeah.
No, I couldn't just do complete silence.
No.
That freaks me out.
Right.
Okay.
Do you talk to yourself?
Yeah. I mean, soundtrack, narrate, the whole getting caboodle.
I talk to myself sometimes and I forget there's people with me. I talk to myself and my wife in the car and she'll say to me, you know, you're talking to yourself. And I'd actually be in full hand, like my hands would be waving around.
So you're
having a conversation.
Loud?
Oh, yeah, I talk out loud, yeah.
Oh, you don't just do it in your head?
No, I talk out loud.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the only intelligent person to talk to. Anyway, I've used that one before, as you can tell.
when he was talking to himself.
And it's never been funny. So anyway, is it good?
On that basis, I think you probably won't enjoy it as much as Serena will. I actually think you could fall into the finding the soundtrack jarring.
Okay.
It opens with Oklahoma from the musical. So like there's and I loved some of the music choices. But if you're not prepared for that to then tonally switch very quickly, even if what's happening on screen hasn't necessarily tonally switched, that could be a frustrating thing.
Yeah. Okay. Serena knows my views on musicals. So Highest to Lowest is on Apple TV.
That's right.
Only Murders in the Building, back on Disney.
Are you excited about this coming back?
Nah, you know I don't like this.
Why?
Ah, meh. It was only okay.
See, I love that it's chaotic, it's silly, it's just a bit of fun, and I think that's what my brain needs at the moment. Yeah. I also feel like...
I didn't dislike it, but no, it was fine. I gave up.
I was more or less the same.
Yeah.
I think what has to happen with Only Murders in the Building is I find that when I watch it with my husband, because it releases weekly... I forget that it's releasing weekly, so we never go back to it. So I find what works for me is I wait till it is all out, so okay. Then I remember it's on, and then you get into this flow. Because at the moment, 3 episodes are available. The final 6 drop every Wednesday, with the finale being on the 21st of August. Season 5 sees their beloved doorman Lester get murdered. Well, they think it's... No, it's not a spoiler. It happens at the start. Sorry?
Who did it?
Well, that's the thing,
oh.
Right? So they think that... they think that Lester, he just died of natural causes. He fell into the fountain. But of
not
course...
Not that
no, not the Arconia. So they go, I think there's a mob connection. They go and investigate. And I think the reason why I love this show is that the episodes are snappy. Like, they're between 30 to 45 minute long. The 45-minute ones I find a bit hard sometimes, but I love this because this is a playing ground for old Hollywood to just come back and have fun. Like, we've got Martin Short, Selena Gomez coming back. We have Meryl Streep. We've also got Richard Kind. But joining them this season, we've got Renee Zellweger, Christoph Waltz, Diane Wiest, who we haven't seen in ages, Tia Leone. Like, there's so many old Hollywood coming back to play and just to have fun. And I think that's why I like this. Is it the best TV show on TV? No. Is it fun? Yeah. Do I love this trio? This trio should never have worked. But
yeah.
They
work. Yeah, true.
And so, look, if you're looking for a bit of fun, I think check this out. Yeah.
So Mitchell and Webb are not helping. Channel 4, this is doing really well on Channel 4.
Really well. And deservedly so, I would say. I, like, from the opening sketch... just loved it. Now, I loved that Mitchell and Webb show, which
it was very good.
Yeah, and you know,
what is it?
That Mitchell and Webb show. For anyone listening who's going like yourself, what is it? That sketch that often gets shared of the Nazis. Yeah.
Are we the bad guys?
Going, are we the baddies?
Because know, there's a. I know it, Serena. You will.
I'll do that after this.
No, it gets passed around a lot, especially with current affairs.
They're all standing there. You know who we're talking about. You know David Mitchell. You know you do. He's on all the panel shows. Peep Show.
I'll Google. You keep talking, yeah, I'll Google.
Okay, you Google.
That was a hugely successful and long-running show that I think kind of kicked off them getting the opportunity to make Peep Show.
Yeah.
But it's had an enduring legacy for you and I, anyway.
Yeah, that's Serena. She's looking confused over there.
Yeah, they're now back. And it's a long time since... Channel 4 specifically has put out a kind of big sketch show, which used to be something that they were absolutely brilliant for. Like, I used to love that Mitchell Webb show and Smack the Pony and all of them back in the day. So it's really great to see the medium be revisited, and it really, really works. Like, one of the opening sketches, if not the opening sketch, is a group of people in beautifully detailed Georgian outfits having an argument because one of them has installed this new type of latrine, and the rest of them just can't see the point in having to leave the room to use the toilet.
And it's Serena, just, but it's, come on.
I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, no, do. And they've also got a randomly sweary Aussie soap opera.
Sold.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that might get you. Yeah. But anyway, it's absolutely brilliant. I raced through the first 4 episodes. I need more.
It's on, what's the Channel 4 app? It's not 4 on Demand anymore. What's it called? It's just Channel 4, is it?
Yeah, I think it's just Channel 4.
It's rebranded it as Channel 4. Anyway, so that is Mitch and Webb aren't helping. Serena, a.k.a. Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. Yeah, this
Netflix.
Any good? Yesterday. Yeah, it's two.
Is it?
It is and it's not. It's 2 episodes long, 90 minutes each. Did we need that much? Probably not.
So this is the tell-all.
It's a tell-all. And look, there's no holds bar. Charlie Sheen is involved. He tells us he's 7 years sober. He looks back on his career. It's not into, and his life, because his life has been all over the place. It's not until you're watching at the very beginning, you're going, wow, this man really was a superstar. Like, he starred in Platoon, which won the Oscar. He was in Wall Street. Like, he did a lot of good stuff. He did the spoofs really well as well. Remember with...
Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2.
So, and you know, his dad is Martin Sheen. His brother's Emilio Estevez. They touch on all of that. There's a lot of talking heads. Emilio and Martin do not appear.
Mm.
His older brother, Ramon, does.
Is Denise Richards?
Yes, but Sean Penn. childhood friends.
Oh.
Are they?
Yeah. Chain smoker. All you see him is doing is smoking. But talking about Charlie, Denise Richards appears, who's his ex-wife. Brooke Mueller, who's also his ex-wife, appears. So it no holds barred. But what I will say is when you're watching this, you're also just seeing Charlie's side of the story, if that makes sense. Like, you're hearing everyone else saying this is how bad it was. It opens with, like, the very first thing is the Two and a Half Men
yes.
soundtrack. And John Cryer is the first person you see on screen.
So he's in it.
Poster. And he opens it up really interestingly because he says, I didn't know whether to do this or not. I'm really conflicted because Charlie has this habit. He's good. Then he goes into this whole, I'm blowing my life up.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and says, I'm better. So he goes, I don't know what form we're going to get by the time this comes out. So
that's really interesting.
Yeah. But what watching this, I was just like, it's more than just a story about Charlie Sheen. It's a story about addiction.
Yeah.
And how bad addiction can get. And the only reason why he's still standing is because of his privilege. Yeah. So when you were, I will say, if you are affected by addiction, it is a hard watch. Because you do, they don't hold back on showing it. Remember when he was doing like the winning phase and the Tiger Blood?
Blood. Sorry, he also, is he HIV positive?
Remember? He's HIV
positive. All right, okay, yeah.
Heidi Fleiss is in this, remember the madam?
Yes.
Yeah, so like she's, so in fairness to him.
God, those are mad times. Remember that?
But in fairness to him, he did bring all of them in and said, you go and you talk. He's a father of five and he's a grandfather of three. So not all of his kids appear, a couple of them do. If you're a fan of Charlie Sheen or intrigued by Charlie Sheen, this might be something you're interested in. But I think it does lead to a bigger discussion about addiction and also about how we treat stars' spiral into entertainment and money-making.
Yeah.
That's what it was all about in the end.
And, you know, you might hope that the people that didn't appear, like his brother and his dad and some of the kids, is because they didn't want to and he didn't push them.
Yeah, well, he says he'd like to think of this as his love letter to his dad.
Serena Bellissimo, D-Ready, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.